Lord, this is the moment that is of the utmost importance. Your word is about to be opened. And Father God, we are not ashamed of this word, not even a little bit. This word, it holds the pathway, the key unto life itself by sharing with us the gospel of Jesus Christ, putting into words that we can understand and drink into our hearts, and to be forever changed by what it contains. And Father God, it never ceases to amaze me that whether it's the person who has heard the gospel for the first time and responds, or whether it's someone who has been a Christian longer than not, it's amazing, Lord God, how this word can just continue to impact us and grab us and hold us in new and beautiful ways. And Father God, as we approach the book of 2 John today, as we make it all the way into verse 7 today, dear God, Father, I pray that you will illumine the eyes of each of our hearts here and just reveal to us your goodness and your glory, but also in this day, make us aware, Lord God, you have made us a wise people. You have made us a people, dear God, that have brains between our ears, and we can use them, and we can fathom truths, and we can look around us, and we can interpret the times. But now, Lord God, more than any of this, please, dear God, let us interpret your movement within our very hearts. Speak to us clearly from your word, and dear God, let this time be beautiful. We love you, Lord, and it's in your Son's most precious name that we do pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please open up to the book of 2 John. I'm going to start from the beginning. I'm going to work all the way down to today's verses. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth. For the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Now, brothers and sisters, as we look at these passages of Scripture, we are reminded, and this very small book, the book of 2 John, has already reminded us time and again about understanding God's truth and understanding his love. And now we come again to today's verse where it says, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Now, as I stand here before all of you, you have probably all had quite an interesting week. These last few days in world affairs have been kind of interesting. It's not often that American jets fire missiles over American soil, but apparently that just happened. Unless you did not hear, they just took down that Chinese spy balloon over in the Atlantic and are fishing out the remnants of it. And, you know, I take a look at it. I don't know what they're going to find. But anyways, I could make a lot of jokes, but I'm going to behave myself. But now, I find myself in an interesting place today. And as I stand here before all of you, you might also find yourselves in an interesting place. We find ourselves in much a similar place that God's chosen people found themselves in time and time again. Whether when they were wandering in the wilderness and were hard pressed by enemies on every side, or maybe when it came to the time of the monarchy and when there was that great strength with King David and then it went into his son, a time of great strength, but also a time at that moment of great depravity. In a lot of ways, we oftentimes find ourselves, are we the faithful pilgrims wandering in the wilderness, relying on God to deliver us in all of our troubles? Or do we find ourselves as a strong and mighty nation that feels self-sufficient and that they can just go and do things on their own and as they please because we have put our faith and our trust in chariots and in horses? Oh, but wait a minute. That sounds a little like I'm quoting Scripture, doesn't it? I believe the Bible says something like that. Some trust in chariots and in horses, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen? Now, this is where we are, and we have to come to a point where we understand that we are God's people, and we are ambassadors in this strange land. We are not of this world, but we are in this world representing our Father's kingdom. Amen? And as such, we understand that he has called us to walk and to live a certain way, and just today he has said to us, and this is love,
that we walk according to his commandments. Now, I'm going to turn the clock back just a little bit. I'm going to take you all back to high school with me for a second. No, I'm not going to like put on and play some 80s pop and dance around or do anything like that. But roughly 1987, 1988, if my memory serves me right, I know I was in high school at the time, our Secret Service departments uncovered a letter. And in this letter, and of course this was a long time ago now, in this letter, long before they were ever a rival for us, we had unearthed a letter that was done on behalf of the people of China and their government assessing their future. Because, you know, the Chinese are a very patient people. They're the ones that made that slogan, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step." They know how to put one step in front of the other and say, "We're here, but we want to be there, so let's just keep going step after step." But way back in 1987, we unearthed a letter wherein these officials in China said, "We see war with America as inevitable." I don't know if any of you remember that letter, but it's a true story. "We see war with America as inevitable." And then as we turn on the news just in the last recent weeks, you know that a 4-star general followed by one of our senators just said last week that they believe we're going to be at war with China by 2025. Now, for those of you that know how to count, this is 2023. We're getting close to 2025. And now all of a sudden, we've got balloons flying over the continental U.S., balloons going over our missile silos. They're spy balloons, folks. I mean, come on. Now, a lot of you know me, and you know my first response is always going to be hawkish. I'm like, "They did what?" But the thing is I have to allow the hawk and the man inside of me settle down for a moment. And we need to challenge ourselves with the truth of the Lord. The truth of the Lord does not say, "This is truth," or "This is love, that you be the strongest in the world and you war against thine enemies." But rather, we have been called and we were told, "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments." Now, as I said, we're entering into this peculiar time, and I'm not the only person that sees it, and I have a funny feeling that a lot of you probably see it as well. The guy was just on the news that does one of those emergency foods, you know, it's like Patriot Supply and all those different survival foods. They said there has been such a rush on orders for those survival type food gear that they can't even keep up with the demand. They can't get enough food in to pack the boxes to send them out to those of us that are worried World War III is right around the corner. And why? Because I already got mine. No, just kidding. But the world is rapidly changing around us. And there are violent people with violent mindsets who have no problem causing injury or working harm. It's hard to believe that we're about at the year anniversary of the start of the Ukraine war. In so many ways, it feels like it just started. But it's in our faces every single night, and we're coming up on the year anniversary, and we're sending tanks, and other people are now sending tanks, and there's rumor that we might start sending long-range rockets. There's a war going on with America's long-appointed enemy, the evil empire, Russia. And now people stop texting me while I'm preaching. But all of this is going on. And you all know me. I am a super patriot. I love this country. You know that old, "You cut me, I'm going to bleed red, white, and blue," folks. But even with as wild of a patriot as I am and as much as I love this country, there comes a point where people like me, people that think like me, and maybe people that think like you as well, need to stop themselves. And they need to say, "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments." I don't know about you folks. I don't want to see one person go to hell. Amen? I don't want to see one soldier on either side that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord or Savior fall in battle. I don't want to see one soldier fall in battle, period. I don't want to see any lives lost in needless, senseless wars. Now, for some people, like the Taiwanese, for instance, they might not think that the coming war is needless or senseless because it's probably going to be over their property. And so we come to these points where you have friends and you have allies and you want to support them, but we need to remember we are not of this world. We are in this world. We are of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has asked us for our hearts to be filled with his love and to go out and with an unashamed love to without any degree of shame share his gospel and to love what he loves. And here's the challenge. There is not a single person on the face of this earth that Jesus Christ does not love. Amen? I mean, and at the same time, I got to say, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong again. If we were called upon to fight, I would fight to defend this nation. But brothers and sisters, do you believe in a God that works miracles? Do you believe in a God that does great things? Do you believe in a God that sets captives free, sets hearts loose with a wild love, the likes of which no one would ever be able to fathom until they met it? Do you realize that we only know what love is, the scripture says, because he first loved us? If you are a people that truly know the love and the movement and the warmth of God's person having come alive in your life, then you ought to, with every ounce inside of your body, hear me now, I'm calling for this now, please stop yourselves and drop to your knees in prayer daily and pray for the situation of this world. We do not want a conflict that's going to cost untold thousands of lives. And we do not want to walk recklessly or carelessly into a conflict, even though in all likelihood all reports say that we would win, but at what cost? Do you want to know what cost? They established it. They recently did tests, and they think the cost of the war would be that the Japanese Air Force would be completely obliterated, that the island of Guam would be obliterated, and the ability of the Chinese People's Republic to wage war would be decimated for at least the next 10 years. But out of our four main aircraft carriers that we have stationed over there, they expect we would lose three of them. That's a lot of American lives, brothers and sisters. And it's a lot of lives, period. Some of you might remember a day called 9/11. Y'all remember that? And a lot of you are probably just like me. On one hand, you might have been like, somebody find me Osama bin Laden. But then on the other hand, in between the rage and the upsetness, you might be like, Lord, I know he's not a Christian, but I hope someone finds him and leads him to Christ. I don't want to see a single man, woman, or child on the face of this earth spend an eternity in hell separated from the love of God. Do you? I don't. May it never be. The love of God needs to come alive in our lives. You see, there is, and if you're following along in your bulletin, living in contrast. We are supposed to be living in contrast to this world. There is a way that seems right in this world, but it's not our way. Amen? Our way is the way of the Father, the way that the Lord appoints. There is a purpose, and our purpose is to, this idea that to walk is a purpose statement. It is a consistent message. Listen to this. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is a statement not about like, well, hey, when you walk from here to the corner store, or if you go from here to the little boy's room or the little girl's room, to make sure that you walk thinking about God. But rather, this idea for walk means your life. Your life is your walk. And does your life speak of consistency? It is so hard to love God and yet try to run the fresh, pure water of his love and his truth out of your mouth while you harbor hate and animosity and anger inside of your brain, inside of your gut. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's a tough place to be. And the Lord already apportioned that truth unto us. You can't run both fresh and salt water at the same time. Same well can't do that. So I ask you, what well are you today? Are you a deep, deep well of God's love? If you are, then we need to realize something. America has enemies in this world. There are harsh men in this world that seek to do America harm. And you and I are here in America. And God said to Christians everywhere, love your enemies. If there is one thing that can change the course of this world right now, it is the love of Jesus Christ and nothing else. When I was a kid, I lived right next to an Air Force base. And that Air Force base was Travis Air Force Base. And one of the guys two doors down from us, Major Miller, flew C-5s and stuff. And I remember the first time that we had our war in Desert Storm. And, you know, we were all praying as a church and as a people, like, you know, I hope it doesn't happen. But in the meantime, we're sending like a million people over there and spending all these ships and all these weapons and tanks and stuff over there. And I remember him saying, it's going to happen. And I'm like, don't give up hope. And he said, no. He said, if we've already spent this kind of money, it's going to happen. He says, when you start seeing those huge movements and the money that is necessary to make those happen, they will not send them for no reason. Oh, you'll hear the stories on the news. You'll hear the little tidbits of information. Oh, it's just like a preparedness activity or a this or a that. But no, it means that we're going to war. And if some of you are students of the news like I am, you might have heard that it was just pretty much announced this last week that for the first time in a long time on the island of Guam, the Marines are getting a new base. They are building a brand new base in Guam to house young U.S. men and women Marines. In the Philippines, we've contracted for 4 new bases in the Philippines. And and off Okinawa in Japan, we're looking to bolster our forces there as well. 4 different countries. Unfortunately, I'm getting old and I can't remember the other one. But basically, the news was clear. We were circling the Sea of Taiwan with our military. And I remember Major Miller's words very clearly. We don't do that stuff for no reason. So we find ourselves, much like every people of faith have found themselves, ever since Jesus Christ went up into the sky and said, go ye therefore into all this world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always. For every single one of us that since that day Christ went back up into heaven and he gave us that charge, we have all gone out into a world filled with hostility. But you and I, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen. You and I, we wrestle against the powers and the principalities that govern this world. And of the powers and the principalities that govern this world, I have good news for you. The scripture says that against you and I, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit and living out the truth of God, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Amen. If shooting starts, you will find me praying for the safety and the victory of every single American man, woman, child, whatever, that is engaged anywhere in any activity. And I will shout it loud and proud from every rooftop and everywhere that I love this country. And in the name of my Lord, I hope we win, because I believe a strong America is very good for this world. Very good, in fact. But between this day and that day, the gospel must be proclaimed. What if the true gospel found Osama bin Laden instead of the lie that he did believe? What if the true gospel finds the Chinese leaders instead of this fake man-made gospel that they hold to? What if the true love of Jesus Christ impacted hearts and minds the way that hopefully each and every one of ours has been impacted? Would this world change? If more men, women, and children were in love with the Lord God Almighty? Absolutely. Because I got to tell you, it's really hard to get up. Brother Gary sang one of my favorite songs. Well, my absolute favorite song, actually. Oh, Victory in Jesus. It's really hard to say, oh, victory in Jesus. Well, on the inside, you're plotting harm. Out of the same well cannot come both fresh and salt water. So the call goes out from Jesus to the second letter of John to us today that there is a purpose and we are to walk. The walk is our purpose. To walk means to live. It means our life. It means our theory and our philosophy, the way that we engage other people, our very countenance, all that we are. Our walk is a purpose statement. I am not supposed to be walking in the anger of Bob, but I'm supposed to be walking in the love of Jesus Christ wherever I get to walk. Wherever I get to go, I need to be stepping for Jesus. In every step that I leave in any dusty or dirty path, I need to be leaving drops of grace behind me. I need to be leaving the seeds and planting those seeds in every step that we take that leads to the peace of God being manifested in other people's lives. Brothers and sisters, this world is violent right now. As I said, we just came to the year anniversary of the invasion of the Ukraine, and it was just announced this week that the Russian military alone has lost over 200,000 men in the last year. That is horrendous. You'd have to add up like every single war America's ever fought in to even come close to that number. And they've lost it in a year. Brothers and sisters, there is a desperation in this world and a nastiness that just looks at life as chaff, looks at life as fodder. But every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth was made uniquely, beautifully, wonderfully. Amen? And every single man, woman, and child has been made in some glorious manner after the image and likeness of our God. Human life is precious. Amen? Now, again, forgive me. But now, point number two. As I mentioned, there are evil people in this world. And the deceivers in this world, they do not acknowledge our walk. They do not acknowledge our truth or the truth of the gospel. Some of you have probably walked similar paths to me and had similar conversations with people like I have had. And have you ever noticed you'll always run into somebody that will just so happily and so freely tell you that they think all Christians are just morons and there's nothing good about us and we're all hypocrites and everything else? And have you ever noticed that any time some great man of God falls, it's then plastered all over TV? Have you ever noticed that? Sure you have. You've known... Some of them probably deserve more judgment than others, but the swaggers, the bakers, the anybody and the everybody that's fallen, okay? And they go, look, you see, just like the rest of us, just like the rest of us. The funny thing, though, is that when they do that, they are giving us such a backhanded compliment, and they're punching themselves right in the spiritual face because they say, look, just like the rest of us. The only thing they've done is just admitted they are like that. It's like, finally, you acknowledge you're a sinner. We're getting somewhere. But then when they point... And they say, look at that, look at that, look at that. You know why they point and why they say that? Because they know they should expect better. Amen? Our lives should reflect something better. Our gospel should be taking root in our lives, and we should be living those lives of holiness, walking the walk. The deceivers do not want to acknowledge the truth, but this is the truth. You are here because this is your truth. You are here because you believe Jesus Christ is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? You are here because he saved you from your sins and has taken up residence inside of your life. Amen? This is who you are. And you know that the love of God has kept you from falling to horrible places. And you know that in those moments in your life when you have fallen, the love of God was there to pick you back up. Can I get an amen? We are the most blessed people in the world. Even when we are at our worst, God is at his best. And even when we are at our best, God is at his best. He never gives us anything but his very best. The deceivers do not acknowledge the truth. The consistent message of the scripture is Christ's message. Regarding this walk, that those of us who know Jesus Christ, we know that he has a plan for our lives, and it's a plan for help and not a plan for harm. And we know that he has appointed us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. We know that we are not supposed to run both fresh and salt water out of this well that has been cleansed by Jesus Christ. We also know the deceivers of this world, the spirit of Antichrist, as the scripture refers to it, they do not want to acknowledge the truth that you and I have been blessed by Jesus Christ. They don't want to acknowledge that there is a God that wants to forgive them of their sins, because they don't want to acknowledge that there is sin or that they are sinners. The unrighteous of this world, those that live in deceit, those who live with blinders over their eyes, they don't want to acknowledge any of this, because to do so, they would have to acknowledge that they need the Savior. To admit you're a sinner is to admit that you need to be saved. Now, John 17:17 says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Do you believe that this gospel right here is the very word of God? That it contains the pathway unto Jesus Christ? That it in no way, shape, or form will ever lead you astray, that there is no mixture of error within it? Do you believe this to be the unadulterated word of God? I do. I do. And whenever I hold to that truth, I am blessed for it. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be blessed? Then, brothers and sisters, sanctify this world in the truth of God. His word is truth. And lastly, of these deceivers, of these mockers, we are reminded of what the opening verses of the book of Psalms say. Blessed is the man who does not what? Walk in the counsel of the wicked. Who does not what? Stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed are you who do not walk, stand, or sit in the lies of this world. That's not our way. Our way is that there is a God. Our way is that there is but one pathway unto the Father. Amen? There's no 1,000 points of light. There are no every viewpoint is just as good as the other. There is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So in this scary world of shifting shadows, in this scary world of missiles flying in areas that we're not used to seeing them, in this scary world of 200,000 people being snuffed out in a single battle that's been going on for the last year, in this lost and scary and dying world where other nations think, well, maybe this is a good time for us to do the same. Maybe this is a good time for us to wage war and lose many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions more lives. It seems awfully peculiar, because it seems like some people in this world think that would be a good idea. Where is the good, folks? Didn't somebody once say to Jesus, good teacher? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one who's good, and that's the Father. Now, of course, what Jesus was saying is that if you see God in me, that would be why you would say good. But there are things in this world that people call good, and I have to ask, where is the good? Because if the only thing good is God, when I say where is the good, I'm saying where is the Lord in this? Where is the Lord in this mass extinction that's going on? Where is the Lord? I mean, folks, do you realize how many people 200,000 people is? Take a couple of Santa Maria's. Take every single man, woman, and child that lives in that city. Two times over. And then just wipe them out. Deep down inside of me, I am a hawk. I know it. I always have been. I am a guy that likes to stand up to bullies. I am a guy that thinks that bully nations should be stood up to. There even comes a time, I believe, when, for lack of another opportunity, sometimes God's people have to fight. But my hope and my prayer is that the day never comes. Amen? Amen? Our hope and our prayer needs to be that all of our young ones, our Lukes, our Brandons, our everybody, that they just get to keep growing up, playing with slot cars and model trains and Hot Wheels, dolls and everything else, and dream of growing up and finding Mr. Right or Mrs. Right and having a big white dress that looks like a cupcake, you know, and walking down an aisle and hearing people say, giving them away. I know Swizzle Stick. You know that reference. That was a Taylor Swift reference. She caught it. But brothers and sisters, my daughter caught it too, by the way. But brothers and sisters, there's good in that. There's good in that. Christmas, kids smiling and opening presents, birthday celebrations, driver's license, first dates when they're like 30. There's lots of good in this world. There's lots of things you can see and say, I see the fingerprint of God behind that moment. The raining down of missiles on kindergartens and such. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You and I, unless one of you is a four-star general and I'm unaware of it, we don't really have the authority to say to somebody, do this or don't do that. And we certainly don't have the authority to go overseas and go find President Xi. Is that his name? I just left my mind. We don't get to walk up into his palace and tell him, oh, no, you don't, because this is wrong. But we do have the authority to get on our knees and to turn to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who builds up kingdoms and tears them down at his good pleasure, who always moves in accordance with his holiness. And brothers and sisters, we can pray for a better tomorrow. Amen? We can pray for a safer tomorrow, a happier, more joyous, more prosperous tomorrow. Yes, I've said it, and I'll say it again. If war ever came to our shores, try to keep me back. Just try. But brothers and sisters, my hope and my prayer is that one of these days we will all grow up and realize it's unnecessary. Common sense, diplomacy, rational conversation should be the things that rule the day. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what 2005 holds. There are people in this world that are more scared than you and I right now. But brothers and sisters, we need to remember to walk in accordance with our way. Our walk is our life. Everything that you say, do, think, feel, all needs to be done under the sovereignty of an almighty God. And in every step you take, please leave drops of grace and mercy. Change this world with your forbearing spirit that has been changed by a very mighty and loving God. Will you please join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, it is funny the things that sometimes stick in our heads. I find it funny that of all of the things that I've forgot over the years and all of the school lessons in high school that I chose to pay no attention to, that I still remember that letter that was uncovered that Chinese military officials said that one day war with the United States was inevitable, that it has to happen. Dear God, nothing has to happen. except your will and your love being made known in this world. I pray, Lord God, for the Christians all over this world to rise up and to allow their hearts and their voices to be filled with songs of praise unto you. I pray, Lord God, for a safer tomorrow for all of our children and for all the children of this world. Some would scoff, some would mock and say, oh, that's just a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. But I believe in a God that still works miracles, dear Lord. I believe in a God that still touches hearts and changes lives. I pray for President Putin right now, dear God, that you would infect him with the very love of Jesus Christ. Father God, when I look into his face, I see such an empty soul. I see a heart, Lord God, that has become bruised, calloused, as if brazed or burned with a branding iron. But I ask you, Lord God, to get through that scarred heart and to restore it, to bring it back from being hard as stone and to give him a heart of flesh and blood. Help him to realize, help him to think about the mothers and the fathers, the 400,000 people necessary to have made those 200,000 kids that have already perished. And that's not to even mention what's happened to the Ukrainians. We pray, Lord God, for all those people that are huddled in their cold buildings with snow around and freezing temperatures and no gas and no electricity and hearing the sirens and the bombs flying overhead. And watching day after day as young men and old men walk out of their rooms to go off and to leave the home, not knowing if they'll see them again as they go to defend their country. And as I see the horrors that are going on over there in the Ukraine, I think of Taiwan and I think of the other hot areas in this world right now that will probably, Lord God, see similar conflict within the next 2 years. And Father God, whether it's Russian or Ukrainian or Chinese or Taiwanese or American,